The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Lord's Day, St. Luke 17, verses 15 and 16. And as they went, the lepers were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Whenever I read the gospel appointed for this 14th Sunday after Trinity, there come to mind some words of the 17th century poet George Herbert, who wrote, "Thou that hast given so much to me, give one thing more, a grateful heart, not thankful when it pleases me, as if thy blessings had spare days, but such a heart whose pulse may be thy praise. Thou that hast given so much to me, give one thing more, a grateful heart." The 10 lepers healed by Jesus had indeed been given much. All 10 had been healed of the then dread disease of leprosy, which not only destroyed their bodies, but also carried with it the misery of isolation from their families and loved ones. Lepers were required to live all by themselves, deprived of normal human contact. And so when the Savior healed them, the lepers not only regained their health, in a real sense, their lives were given back to them. All 10 lepers had received so much from Jesus, but only one of them gave evidence of what George Herbert calls that one thing more, a grateful heart, a heart whose pulse will be God's praise. Thou that hast given so much to me, give one thing more, a grateful heart. And yet the whole story of our lost and fallen race is a story of the lack of that one thing more, a grateful heart. In the very beginning of the human story, God had given our first parents paradise with all its delights. But Satan sowed in their hearts the seeds of discontent. And then even paradise with all its delights wasn't good enough. And the rest, as we say, is history. But amid all the long and dreary story of ungratefulness to God, with all its evil fruits of envy, jealousy, covetousness, conflict, and despair, there is that one life of perfect thanksgiving. The life of Christ, who is the second Adam, come to undo the damage brought about by the first Adam. The second Adam, who is not only fully God, but also fully and completely human, and in whose life, therefore, we come to see what it really means to be fully human, to live as God made and intends us to live. The life of the Lord Jesus was one of constant thankfulness and praise. His heart was the heart whose pulse truly was God's praise. How often in the four Gospels we see him giving thanks and praise to the Father. And even on the night before his death, when he knew full well what lay before him, what did he do? He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. He took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Do this." He gave to his church that wonderful sacrament, which is called the Holy Eucharist. Eucharist means thanksgiving. The Holy Eucharist, the Holy Thanksgiving, which is the beating heart of the church's life, a heart whose pulse is God's praise. Here in the Holy Eucharist is paradise restored, ungratefulness banished, and joyful thanksgiving all around. Out of pure love as a gift, God has called each one of us out of nothingness into being. Out of pure love, as a gift, he still preserves us. Out of pure love, as a gift, he has redeemed us with the precious blood of his Son. And out of pure love, he has made us heirs of the kingdom of heaven. All this he has done, as we learn to say in the Catechism, without any merit or worthiness in me, for all which it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. But when we are discontent, complaining, grumbling, self-pitying, we're in effect saying that we deserve better, that we're entitled to more. But what do we truly deserve? Well, what do we say in the confession at the beginning of every divine service? We say that as the sinners we are, we justly deserve God's temporal and eternal punishment. That's what we deserve. We deserve God's judgment. We need his mercy. Our only claim on God is the blood of Christ shed for us on the cross, mysteriously yet truly given to us in the Holy Sacrament. Thou that hast given so much to me, give one thing more, a grateful heart. Not thankful when it pleases me, as if thy blessings had spare days, but such a heart whose pulse may be thy praise. Well, most of us have a long way to go. I know I do. Before we reach the level of someone like that great preacher of the ancient church, St. John Chrysostom, who, despite being sent into exile for the second time and hounded to death by his enemies, could still say, "Glory to God for all things. Glory to God for all things. You and I are not that far, but we can at least move in that direction through mindfulness of God's daily goodness, making it a habit at the end of the day to look back over the day and thank God for each and every blessing, especially for the things we so often take for granted. From the earliest times of the church, at every celebration of the Holy Eucharist, the pastor has prayed, "It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks. For whatever burden may lay heavy on our hearts, whatever clouds may darken the horizon of our lives, we should and we will give thanks, because our Lord Jesus Christ not only healed the 10 lepers, but has through our baptism into his atoning death and life-giving resurrection also cleansed each one of us from the leprosy of sin and established us in that blessed communion and fellowship which death itself cannot destroy. Thou that hast given so much to me, give one thing more, a grateful heart. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Having heard the word of God, let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty.